Today's daf is Vav Bas with Daf Chav Zayin. We left off yesterday on Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. We are at the two dots on Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. The last thing we did, we were discussing if a tree is growing in one area and the roots are extending out into another area, who has ownership of those roots? Do the roots belong to the person whose property that they are in, or do the roots belong to the owner of the tree? So just a quick note before we begin, I was talking to one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva yesterday, who also gives the Daf Yomi Shir, Rabbi Natan Al-Gorala, and he told me that he has a member of his Daf Yomi Shir who lives on Branch Boulevard over here, and his backyard fence is on Branch Boulevard, and he said that there are these big trees that are growing on Branch Boulevard, and the roots are extend into his property. They rip up the whole sidewalk, as we well know, anyone who's ever tried to walk it, and the roots extend into his backyard. And he got a note from the village that he has to cut the roots. And he said, "But it's your tree." And the village responded, "Yes, it's our tree, but they're your roots. They extend into your property." So it was mamish, this machlokas about who the roots belong to when you have the tree. So the village passed him like Ula, and he's got to live with it. So that's what he has to do. He's got to cut down the roots. Okay, anyway, so you see these things are sometimes very halacha l'maisa, even though you don't think they are. Okay, so says the Gemara at the two dots. It's not so much halacha l'maisa, he's got to listen to the village. There's nothing he can really do. But leave to your if you brought them to a Beis Din. Okay, we're at the two dots. Amar Ula. So Amar Ula, Ilan Asamach Lemeitzar B'toch Sheish Esrei Amma Gazlinhu. If you have a tree that is within 16 amos of the border of your field, so then you are considered a Gazlin. That tree is considered to be stealing, because it's stealing Yanika from somebody else's Karka, right? It's being Yonik, it's gaining nourishment from somebody else's Karka. And because it's a Gazlin, Ve'in Mevin Mimenu Bikurim, you don't bring Bikurim from that tree, from the fruits that grow in that tree, there is no mitzvah bikurim. Why? So says Rashi, Ein mevin mimenu bikurim, Ein sarich lahavi mimenu bikurim, debi'inan asher tavi me'artzucha. There's no chiyuv to bring bikurim, because it says asher tavi me'artzucha. And since asher tavi me'artzucha, and this tree is yonek from land that isn't your land, so mainly you're not going to have to bring bikurim. Now the implication of Rashi is that it's not asur to bring bikurim, it's that ain't sarich, that you don't need to bring bikurim, you're not required to bring bikurim. But the implication is that if you wanted to bring bikurim, you'd be allowed to, which is an interesting chiddush, because normally if you're not allowed to bring bikurim, to then go and bring the fruits would be a problem of chulin ba'azara, right? That's the Rambam writes, the chulin ba'azara is any animal or peros or lechem, right? any oil, flour, those types of things, the Rambam writes, are all subject to chulin ba'azara. That's a long Mishnah L'melech. On that Rambam, Mishnah L'melech discusses, what if I just bring a computer into the azara? I bring a chair into the azara. Is that chulin ba'azara? Or is it dafka, something that's royal lekarban, or that's normally there for some sort of purpose? So the Rambam gives the examples of peros and lechem. Yeah, but peros and lechem sometimes have to be brought there, such as bikurim, right? Bikurim is peros, and you have lechem all the time, right? So what's the iser? Is it an iser to bring anything that's not a karban lazara, or anything that had potential to be something that's right for the azara, and is not kadosh to bring that into the azara? So Rashi seems to say that there's at least such a concept of a rishus to bring bikurim, that you don't have to bring the bikurim, but if you wanted to, you could. And what's the problem? That it's not me'artzucha. Tosfos says, no, wait a second, there are two statements that are being made. These aren't two separate statements, it's really one big statement. Gazlin hu ve'ein mevin mimenu bikurim. It's not stam. By the way, you're stealing someone else's yinika, and a separate halacha, you're not chayiv to bring bikurim. So it says, no, they're very much connected. If you look at those, gazlin hu ve'ein mevin mimenu bikurim, pirush rach, mishum de'ein mevin gezel gabayim izbeach. Shnemar, ani Hashem, son of gezel boli, you're not allowed to bring these fruits as bikurim, because you can't bring gezel on the Mizbeach, and he quotes the Pesukim that we normally associate with the concept of mitzvah baba vera, that here you went and you stole the nourishment for these fruits, so these fruits are a product of stealing, and therefore these fruits are not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. The leslan de ula da behedya paskin krab yosi da mersen latera patoch shalom. Tosas happens to be we don't paskin this way because we would paskin that it's mutter to plant your tree near the border. Zen latera patoch shalom, and therefore it's not gezel, and therefore it would not be mitzvah babavero. Now, according to Rashi, it may not be gezel, but it's still the fact that it's gezel doesn't have any bearing on whether you're chayiv to bring it as bikurim. It's still not me'artzicha. Everyone, Rabbi Yossi would agree that the yanika it's getting is from someone else's land. You may be allowed to do that, but it is from someone else's land, so it still wouldn't be me'artzicha. So that's enough nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos. Vim tomar fraktosos l'perusho ula keman savar. Who does ula hold like that? The krabana nami lo havi. The rabana lo bo harchaka el dalat amos lula sheishes soyama. That who does ula hold like? He doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi that zan matei b'toch shelo that you could plant in your own property. He doesn't hold like the rabana who say that you need to be marchik only dalat amos. So who does he hold like when he says you need to be marchik 16 amos? Yeshlomer de ula v'mukim asnisin b'tzunma k'demukim labreish pirkin alachil abayel dalat amos. Ula must say that in the Mishnah, when the Rabbanan only require a harchak of dalet amos, that's talking about very rocky, hard ground, where the yinika is not going to extend that far, the roots are not going to be able to grow that far out. But typically speaking, in normal, regular ground, it's going to be 16 amos of yinika, and you would need to be marchik 16 amos as well. So he makes new kimta in our Mishnah to make the Mishnah fit with him. That's how Tosus understands. So, where does Ula get this idea, the 16 Amma number? Right? Where does that number come from? So, if you're going to say it's from the following Mishnah, if you have 10 trees scattered about in one Beisa'a of Karka, so, Chorshim Kol Beisa'a Bishvilan and Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to plow the area of trees up until Rosh Hashanah on Erev Shavuos, right? You don't have to do any Tosefes Shavuos. You don't have to do any addition to the Shemitah year on the karka that's needed for the trees. So if there are 10 trees scattered evenly in one Beisa of karka, we assume that the entire karka is necessary for those trees or is associated with those trees, and therefore you're allowed to be Choresh the entire karka all the way up until Rosh Hashanah. Kama havaluhu. So wait a second, let's try to figure out how many square amos are there in a base saw of karka. Right, a base saw is if you were to, right, the way Rashi says square amos, he says if you were to line up all the area of a base saw, instead of making it a square, making it one long line that's one amma wide, how long would that line extend? That's the way he speaks when he talks about square amos. We're familiar with the term square amos, so we just say square amos. How many square amos is a base saw? Trei alafim v'chamish mea garmidi. It's 2,500 amos. L'kol chad v'chad kamim atilei. So how much is that for each tree? If there are 10 trees in a Beis Sa'a, and it's 2,500 square amos in total, so how many square amos for each tree? So masam l'chamishin. That's easy math so far. 250 square amos for each tree. So frak the Gemara, halo havidu ula. That does not work out like ula. Ula said that you have 16 amos in any direction from the tree is going to be yonik from. That's way more than 250 square amos. Because 16 amos in either direction from the tree is 32 by 32, right? Because you go 16 amos in all directions. Right? That's what Rashi says. The shir ula nafish. Ula shir is much greater. The amar di ilan yonik sheish esrei. The ilan yonik sheish esrei ama l'kol tzad. Because he says the tree is yonik 16 amos in all directions. Hare lamed beis al lamed beis. Right, so it turns out Ula's area of yanika for each tree is 32 amos by 32 amos. Aseme and Ritzua achas shal amar rochav. If you were to figure out how many square amos that is, kasher sisa mibeisa timatzena shal elef v'chav dalet ama. Shari yesh kan shloshim shtayim Ritzuas kol achas lam beis ama. You're going to end up with 1,024 square amos. That's way, way more than the 250 square amos that the Mishnah refers to over here. So where does Ula get this idea? 16 amos in each direction. That's 1,024 square amos for each tree. So says Gemara Velami Ditnan, Ula must have gotten the idea of this many of 16 amos in each direction from the following Mishnah. Shlosha ilanos shel gimel b'nei adam harel mitstarfin. If you have three trees that belong to three separate people, they're mitstarif to each other. V'choshen kol beisa b'shvilan. You're allowed to be choresh the entire beisa for on account of those trees. If you look at Rashi, velo mitnan shloshi lanos kedolim. If you have three large trees, sheyonkim yosim and anatios umufuzar bebeisal laorchol rach babeshava, and they're scattered around the beisah in equal measurement away from each other. Afalpi sheino shaladim echad elishol shlosha bnei adam. Even though they don't all belong to one person, they belong to three separate people. Mitstarfin lios de ilan. Right, that's enough to make it called a stay ilan, and therefore you're allowed to plow that field erev shmita until atzeres kedin stay ilan, like a stay ilan, even though there are other plantings in that field. If the entire field did not have a din of stay ilan, you would only be able to plow around each tree as it needs it, which would only allow you to plant directly under the tree, and the area immediately surrounding it, only as much as you need for a guy to walk with a basket that he's going to pick fruits from it. And the whole rest of the field would not be counted as a steilan, would be counted as steilavan, as a grain field. And then you would only be able to plow it on Erev Shemitah until Pesach. You would not be given until Atzeres to plow it. So labeling it as steilan is important in the sense that it allows you to plow that field all the way up until Atzeres of Erev Shviyas. But what do we see? What labels it as steilan? Having three trees in a Beisah. So this is going to come a lot closer, right? Because Ula's measurement turned out to be 1,024, right? So kama havaluhu, how many square amos are in a beisah? So trealfi vehemeh garmidi. We already discussed that. There are 2,500 square amos in a beisah because a beisah is 50 by 50. So do the math. It's 2,500 square amos. L'kol chad kama matilei. So if you have three trees being yonek from 2,500 square amos, how many square amos is it per tree? Timni meyav etzlasim etzlasim etilta. It's 833 and a third for each tree. So, says the Gemara, that's a little closer, but akati nefishilei, Ula still more. Ula still says it's 1,024 amos. He still gives you 16 amos in each direction, which means that you have a square. Each tree sits in the center of a square that's 32 by 32. So that does not, that turns out to be 1,024 square amos, not 833 and a third. So where does Ula get the idea that the tree is yonek that far? So says the Gemara, do Ula lo dak. Okay, but he's close. No, so he wasn't totally precise, but he was close enough. So he wasn't being extremely precise. So in fact, the Gemara, wait a second. No. Emer damrin lo dak l'chumra. If you want to be imprecise, then you could be imprecise if you're going to err on the side of caution. If you're going to be more machmir, what's Ula saying over here? That you have 16 amos from which, that if you're within 16 amos of your neighbor's field, you're not going to bring bikurim. So according to Ula, if you're 15 and a half amos away from your neighbor's field, your tree is 15 and a half amos away from your neighbor's field, you're not going to have to bring bikurim. That's a tremendous kula. If in reality, 15 and a half amos away, you would have to bring bikurim, so then Ula's saying a tremendous kula. So you can't estimate, if you're going to say that Ula really agrees that the tree only needs 833 square amos of yinika, right? That's all it really needs, 833 square amos of yinika, which would put you at what? At like 14 amos in each direction, something like that, 14 and a half amos in each direction. Do the math. So then Ula's being imprecise is coming up with a bigger kula. By rounding off and just saying 16, which by the way is an odd number to round off to, but by rounding off and just saying 16 is imprecision that's unacceptable, because you can come out with this tremendous kula that you're not going to have to bring bikurim. So says Gemara, Emer d'amrina lo dak l'chumra, l'kula lo dak mi amrinan. I understand that we're going to say lo dak, that sometimes we're imprecise if it's going to lead us to a chumra. Being imprecise, we err on the side of caution. But over here, it's not on the side of caution. We end up being more makel by not requiring havas bikurim. So says the Gemara, no, mi safrit b'riv, v'waka amrinan. When Ula talks about 16 amos in each direction, what does that leave you with? Do you think that leaves you with a square of 32 amos by 32 amos with the tree at the center? No. It leaves you with a circle where the center point is is the tree, and you go 16 amos in each direction, and you're hitting the circumference of the circle. You're hitting the area, the outer area of the circle, right? So it's the radius of 16 amos. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about where the tree is at the center of a square, because then if you go to the corners of that square, it's way more than 16 amos. But Ulu never says that the unique goes more than 16 amos. Ah, so now we got to do the math. What is the area of a circle whose radius is 16 amos? So Begula Kamin Michti Kama Maruva Yosrali Al Igul. How much greater is the area of a square than the circle within that square? Right? So it says Maravia. It's 1/4 greater. So you'd have to take away 25% of the area for the square, and then you'd be left with the area of the circle inside the square. So what was the area of the square? 1,024 amos. So that's pretty easy math, because a quarter of 1,000 is 250, a quarter of 24 is 6. So take away 256 amos from your 1,024. Pashaluhu, how much does that leave you with? Zayin mea vishis nutmanya. It leaves you with 768 amos. So that's what Ula is really saying, that it's yonek from 768 square amos around it. Now, how much did we say it was yonek from in that Mishnah where there are three trees within a Beis Sa'ah? We said it was yonek from 833 and a third. So now Ula was off, but that's okay. Akati Pashle Palgadam. So he's off by a half an amma. Meaning, it sounds like he's off by a lot when you talk in square amos, but in reality, we're talking about how many amos away from the tree, so it's not really that much, because it's only roughly a half an amma, because really the tree is yonek from a little further, from 16 and a half amos or so, but Ula says 16 amos. So he's off by a half an amma. He says that within 16 amos of your neighbor's field, you don't have to bring bikurim, but more than 16 amos, you do have to bring bikurim. So hainu de lo dak u l'chumra lo dak. Ah, now he's imprecise, but he's imprecise l'chumra, because now he's saying that you have to bring bikurim if it's more than 16 amos away, even though really you only have to bring bikurim if it's more than 16 and a half amos away. So that's a chumra. Frektosos, is that a chumra necessarily? By saying that you don't have to bring bikurim, there are other halachas that kick in. Or by saying you do have to bring bikurim, rather, meaning 16 and a quarter amos. Ula saying you do have to bring bikurim, even though in reality you don't. So he's being imprecise, l'chumra. He's being a little extra machmir that you have to bring bikurim if it's 16 and a quarter amos away, right? The fact also is that's not only a chumra. Vim tomar, vahanami kulahu. That itself, that halacha itself is also a kula. Had ma'isi bikurim. The fact that you bring bikurim when 16 and a quarter amos away is a kula. Because if you bring bikurim, then that produce is part from truma ma'iser. So isn't that a kula that he's being mekel? So 16 and a quarter amos, it really should be chayiv in truma ma'iser, and it really should be chayiv in truma ma'iser, and because you do not have to bring bikurim from it, and Ula is saying that you do bring bikurim from it, and therefore it's not chayiv in truma ma'iser. So isn't he really being mekel? So says Gemara, no. V'yeshlomer du Ula lo ari ela b'mayde eino mevi b'toch yirvav. All Ula said is that within the first 16 amos you're not mevi bikurim. So within the first 16 amos, and everyone agrees that within the first 16 amos there's no debating. He does not say that beyond 16 amos you would bring bikurim. He just says, for sure, if you're within 16 amos, you don't bring bikurim. If you're a little bit more than that, ask Shaila. But for sure, within the first 16 amos, you don't bring bikurim. Avachutz yidvav, pa menu mevi. If you're beyond yidvav, you need to ask a Shaila. You need to figure out, we need to do more precise measurements. He was trying to give guidelines that anybody could follow. Right, so the guidelines that covered 99.9% of the cases, which often that's a responsible Rav will do that. We'll say, look, if this is the situation, then for sure you have nothing to worry about. If the situation is a little bit more fuzzy, then we need to talk further. So by saying, if this is a situation within 16 amos, you have nothing to worry about, you don't bring bikurim, not you have nothing to worry about, you're a gazlan, but you don't bring bikurim, so then he covered 99.9% of the cases. Okay, so there might be one guy who's got a tree that's 16 and a quarter amos away from his neighbor's field. Okay, so then we'll analyze it, we'll talk, we'll ask a Shaila, and the answer will be that the real measurement is 833 and a third square amos, and therefore you wouldn't bring bikurim either from there. But, Mevi, but Meno Mevi wants it to be on 16 amos. He did not say, he never said that 16 and a quarter amos, that you are Mevi Bekurim. Had he said that, then in a chinami, his imprecision would have led to a kula. But over here, he was just being imprecise to give general rules to people that are easy to remember. Okay, so that's how Tosas deals with it. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring Rayas. Toshima, Hakone Ilan v'Karko'o, Mevi v'Korei. Meaning, when we bring Rayas, whether Ula is correct, that you have that 16 Amos is the Shir Yunika around the tree. So Toshma, Koni Ilan Bikarko, maybe Bikori. If you buy an Ilan and its Karka, so then you can bring the Bikurim and read the Parshas of Bikurim. So my love Kolshu, doesn't its Karka mean Kolshu? Any Karka at all? So doesn't that imply that you bring Bikurim even if your tree is sitting right in the middle of someone else's field and it's totally yonic from someone else's field? So says Gemara, lo. Yod Vavama. No, it means 16 amos. That Ilan Vikarka'o, its karka is defined as 16 amos. Very pashut. Tashma, another raya. Kaneshne Ilanos Bitok Shal Chavero. If you buy two trees within someone else's property, Mevi Ve'eno Kore, then you bring Bikurim, but you don't read the parshas of Bikurim. Hashlosha Mevi Vikore. Sounds like if you buy three trees, that you are Mevi Vikore. My love, Kolshu, doesn't that imply that even though you only have Karka Kolshu, lo, Hachanami, Yud Vavama. No, over here also, we're assuming that you have the 16 amos around each tree, and that way you could be Mevi Vikore. Now, if you look at Tosos, lo, Shesha Soyama, Tosos asks an important question in the second line, toward the end of the line of that Tosos, Vim Tomar, Kone Ilan Echad, Amai Eno Mevi Vikore. What if you buy one tree, why should you not be Mevi Vikore? Leman Diyamar Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguftami. If you hold that Kinyan Peros counts as Kinyan Aguf, Umay Shnomi Mocher Sadeu Leperos, the Mevi Vikore Lididei, Kedamin Perkashalech. The Gemara is going to say that if I sell my field only for the sake of the Peros, meaning you don't really own my field, but you own my field for the rights to the Peros Shabo, if you hold Kinyan Peros as Kinyan Aguftami, then you bring Bikurim from those Peros. So why is this any different? A guy buys a tree in the middle of my field, we say he's not Mevi Vikore because it's my field, but when I sell him only the rights to the Peros in the field, he is Mevi Vikore. What's the difference? The lekel memer da hayta nesavet the kinyan peros lav kinyan guftami dura meirisle the kinyan guftami vashaleach ba'achovel visle the command the koni ilanechad etc. Right? You don't tell me that this tana is assuming that kinyan peros is lav kinyan guftami because it's not so. Right? Tosfos proves it's not so. We must be assuming even within the shita that kinyan peros is kinyan guftami. So why you're not maybe v'kore? So it says Tosfos very important. Yishlomer the shiny hasam sharkarka koni lo adzman kavua. Over there, in the case where you sell the karka li ilanos, the karka li peirosav, the karka is owned by him until a certain amount of time. Aval hacha, in our case, imisyavish miyad ha'ilan, elo b'karka klum. If the tree were to dry up right now, you'd have nothing, and therefore you're not considered to be an owner of the karka at all. Inami, second possibility. Hasam karka kanuilo l'kol davar, l'mishtach papiri, l'mizba silka, v'yarka. You can use that karka for anything. You can use that karka to put fruits out, to plant things in. Av gabe ilan, ein lo el yunika levada. But when all you bought is the tree, not the karka l'peirosav. Karka l'peirosav means the karka for anything it could produce for you. However you want to use it to produce. But over here, you just bought this tree. You didn't buy any of the karka at all. And therefore, you have no rights of yunika. All you have is that you're getting yunika from the other guy's karka. So it's from the other, it's not your karka at all. And therefore, it would be eno kore. Now, the stipler has a different teretz. The stipler in Kivus Yaakov writes that even if you're going to say Kinyan Peros is Kikinin Aguftami, so granted, so Kinyan Peros is Kikinin Aguftami, but still the fact that you are the owner of that tree is not enough. Because, yeah, you're the owner of the tree, so you have the Kinyan Peros, it just means that it's Kikinin Aguf of the land that's right there. But you're not Kona the Peros of the entire Karka, and therefore you don't have a Kinyan Aguf, meaning Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguftami is not literally Kikinin Aguftami. Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguftami is Legabe certain halachas, but Legabe the halach of Bikurim, you need Me'artzucha. And bottom line is, this is more someone else's Eretz than it is your Eretz, because all you own is the tree inside of it. Okay. Tashma, another raya, third raya. Rabbi Kiva Omer, karka kol shu chay bepeo bikurim, because of prusbul. If you have a karka kol shu, a karka that's a very minimal size, so it's you're chayv to in peya on that karka, in bikurim, to bring the first fruits from that karka, the kosel of prusbul, you could write a prusbul as long as you have karka kol shu, because the prusbul, even though the chora prusbul has nothing to do with karka, that was the takana. The takana was only made that if you own karka, you could write a prusbul. Otherwise, prusbul is there was no takana of prusbul. Why? So says Tosus at the bottom, avalamatal to the name kosel prusbul meshiachal chalosan the alvad loshchicha, because it's a loan that's very not shchiach to have a loan where the guy doesn't own any karka. Because why would you lend money to a guy if he has no real property? You have no security, you have no guarantee that you can have what to collect from. So since it was unusual to lend money to a guy who doesn't own any karka, so you're not going to have a prusbul on pure metaltalin unless there's some ownership of karka. Va'atzitz nakuv, what about if you have a flower pot that has a hole in it? Afal pishiyachal chaloso, so you can destroy it just like you can destroy metaltalin. It's not always going to be there, like karka is always going to be there, and yet kosum lo prusbul, and yet you're allowed to write a prusbul on that. Yet the lo plug rabbanu b'mekarkai. The way that rabbanu formulated the takan is that if there's karka, you can write a prusbul. They weren't getting picky about it. Even though in achinami, the reason that they formulated the takana only applies in situations where it's karka that is there forever, that's there to stay. But still, we don't look at the reasons. You look at the halacha, and the halacha is that the way the rabban made the takana is as long as you own karka. That which we write a prose, believer on karka kolshu, the loan was for $1 million. What's karka kolshu going to do? You're not going to be able to collect from karka kolshu. So two deos, and this we've mentioned several times before. It's always good to chazir a little bit from Gittin. Pirush Rashbam Bashaleach Mishum De'Eino Nal LeKarkos VaHavi Ki'ilu Yesh Mashkon B'Kol, because there's a rule Eino Nal LeKarkos, and therefore we can't determine the value of a kolshu of karka. There's no ona. It could be worth whatever, $1 million. To somebody, and therefore it's we view this karka as if it's worth $1 million legabe this loan. Says tells us, but that doesn't seem correct. There may not be ona on karka, but you could be mevatel mekach if you get ripped off by enough on karka. So it's not like there's no price for karka. There is a market price, and if you get ripped off by too much, even on karka, you could be mevatel the mekach. So don't tell me that a karka kolshu is worth $1 million. It's not. Now remember that story that you can collect and recollect, because I can collect from the karka, the owner will then buy the karka back from me because he wants his family karka, and then I'll collect it again, and then he'll buy it back from me and I'll collect it again, and we'll keep going until I get paid back the full amount. So since karka has within it the potential, since the owner is likely to want to redeem it, it has within it the potential to continuously collect over and over again from it until I get whatever it is that I'm owed. That's why you only write a prusbul when there is karka. That's why even a karka kolshehu, even a karka kolshehu is enough to write a prusbul for $1 million loan. But anyway, we're discussing the idea of karka kolshehu. We say v'nikni mima nechasim she'en lemachrayus. Another thing that a karka kolshehu can do is that you can acquire nechasim she'en lemachrayus agav nechasim she'esh lemachrayus agav karka. If the karka is just a kolshehu, you don't need the karka to be very big. So, but bottom line is, what do we say over here? That karka kolshehu is enough to be mechayev in bikurim. So it sounds like just the area of the tree and maybe a kolshehu around the tree is enough to be chayev in bikurim. But Ula said you need to own 16 amos around the tree in every direction in order to be chayev in bikurim. You need to own 833 and a third, or whatever, 760, whatever it was, square amos around the tree to be chayev in bikurim. So answers Gemara, hachamei askin in b'chiti. No, when we say karka kolshehu is mechayev in bikurim, that's bikurim from chita, from wheat. Right, wheat is also chayv in bikurim, and wheat certainly is not yonik from 16 amos around it. Wheat is just yonik from its immediate area. Dekanami diktani kolshu shmamina, and the raya that it must be talking about wheat is it said kolshehu. A tree itself takes up more space than a karka kolshehu, so must be talking about wheat where it grows on a tiny little kolshu of ground. Frek tells us, but wait a second, yinika of wheat is more than a kolshu. V'im tamar v'achita yinikasa gimel tfachim k'demuch b'shabes perakam r'v'kivu b'shmaitin daruga. The Gemara in Shabbos assumes that wheat is yonek three tfachim around it, not a kolshu. V'elam et kolshu tach alav davka, and don't tell me, yeah, three tfachim, that's like a kolshu. When we say kolshu over here, it's lav davka, we mean three tfachim. That's not so. The perakam d'kedushin k'maisa l'b'shmaita d'ibayit tziburim ba ilav v'kamar kolshu l'may chazi. When the Gemara in Kiddushin quotes this idea of Karka Kolshu that we quote over here and says, wait a second, if you need to, when you're being kona a metaltalin agav karka, if you need the metaltalin to be piled in that karka, well then what does a Karka Kolshu do for you anyway? You can't fit any metaltalin in it. So what does the Gemara answer? Umishani kigon shenot b'machat. That you stick a needle in the karka. How small is the piece of karka? The size of the head of a needle, so the pin of the needle. That's how tiny it is. So is it three tfachim? No, it's mamish a kolshu. The Gemara is obviously assuming it's a kolshu. The kamarich b'tanu lashmin and machat. And even on that, the Gemara says, wait a second. If the only metaltan you could acquire with this karka is a needle, we really need a tanner to tell me for the one meshugana who wants to acquire a needle with a kinyan agav, with a agav a karka, we need to have a whole mishnah to tell me about it. So says the Gemara, no, milo askinan to tell you be marganisa. Mashmud the kolshu dafka. So the Gemara says, no, you stick a pearl on top of that needle, and then the pearl is on the karka kolshu, and you're acquiring that agav the karka. So now you have something of real value that you're acquiring agav the karka. But that whole conversation implies that when we say the word karka kolshu, we don't mean three tfachim. We mean mamish a kolshu. It means mamish the tiniest amount of karka. So what do we do about the fact that wheat is yone gimel tvachin? So says also Yeshomer dinihidi yinikasa gimel mikomakom ikur yinikasa enuela kenegda vilanami yinikasa chafehef iluachi ikur yinikasa yudvav. Says, granted, wheat is yonik from three tvachim around it, but primarily it's only yonik from the land right underneath it, from the kolshu of land that it grows in. And don't think that this is shver to say that something could be yonik and have an ikur yonika, because we say the same thing by a tree. Ula, who says a tree is yonik 16 amos, just means that the ikur yonika of a tree is 16 amos. But 25 amos, it's yonik from, right? We assume the roots go out 25 amos and will be yonik a little bit from the area of 25 amos, as we saw before, when you mark it from the bar. Okay, next try. Tashma. Ilan miksasu baritz miksasu b'chutzlaritz. If you have a tree that's half in Eretz Yisrael, half in Chutzlaritz, tevel v'chulin muravin zebezeh divri Rebbe. Rebbe assumes that it's tevel and chulin mixed together. The side in Eretz Yisrael is tevel, the side outside of Eretz Yisrael is chulin, but they're all mixed together. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel omer ha-gadol b'chiv chayv ha-gadol b'pata-pata. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not all mixed together. Those fruits that are growing in Eretz Yisrael are tevel. Those fruits that are growing in Chutzlaritz are chulin. The whole issue over here is whether there's Breira, whether we could take any given fruit and say, this is getting its unika purely from Eretz Yisrael, because it's growing in Eretz Yisrael. And the other side, this is getting its unika purely from Chutzlaritz. But apparently, everyone would agree, in theory at least, that Gadol B'Pater, that it's Pater, that if it's growing from an area that's Pater, that it would for sure be Pater. So if all of the roots were in Chutzlaritz, everyone would agree that it's Pater, even though the tree itself is within 16 amos of Eretz Yisrael. And we don't assume that Mina Aretz Yonek, right? We don't assume that it's being Yonek from Eretz Yisrael, right? We assume that it's automatically Pater. So says Mar, no, how come I ask you the Mafsik Tsunma? No, we're assuming over here that it's rocky land and therefore it's not being yonik anything from Eretz Yisrael. Then you could say I got the Pater. Iachi my time at the Rebbe. But wait, if it's Mafsik Tsunma, then what's the svara for Rebbe, right? Why did Rebbe say that it's Muravin Zebizet, that it all gets mixed together? It doesn't. There's Tsunma in between. So it's not being yonik at all from the other side. So Dahadri Arvi, no, because then by the trunk of the tree, it gets mixed together again. The unika goes through the trunk of the tree. It may have roots on either side that are split by the tsunma, but by the trunk of the tree, it all gets mixed together again. That's the question, whether it gets remixed or not. Only 16 amos. We don't have to stay 25 amos away. It only weakens the area 16 amos around, but it could, the roots actually travel more than 16 amos. mahu. What if a tree is within 16 amos of the border? I'm like gazlan uvein mevin mevin bikurim. So he's a gazlan, and you don't bring bikurim. He also rav number of yochran echadilan asamach lemeitzer vechadilan hanota mevi vikoreish al menaske nukli yeshua liyisrael asaretz. That whether it's a tree that's close to the border or whether it's a tree that leans over into your friend's field, you're going to be mevi vikoreish because that's part of the deal when Yeshua gave us Eretz Yisrael that we're allowed to have trees like that to help beautify Eretz Yisrael. Fine, says the Mishnah. Ilan shu notel stecha verikotzitz mila mardeya al gabi amachrisha. If you have a tree that leans over into your friend's field, you're allowed to cut a mila mardeya worth, the amount of space that you would need for cattle to get by with the plow. Ubuchar, meaning the branches that dip down below, you cut. And if it's a charav or a shikma tree, then you would cut straight down wherever it leans into your field. You can cut every branch that comes into any airspace in your field. Ad l'shamayim. Beis hashlachin kal ilan keneged hamashkolas. If it's a beis hashlachin, you can cut any tree keneged hamashkolas entirely. That the entire part of the tree that goes into your field. Abishal lamar kal ilan strak keneged hamashkolas. Now Abishal says any tree that doesn't bear fruits, you can cut everything that grows into your field. Ibayilu Abishal areishakay. What's Abishal going on? Is it going on the ratio where we say that you can only that only a charav v'shikma is keneged hamashkolas, but our normal trees is gabi mechur, is you can only cut less al gabi melo mardeya? And Abishal is saying, no, any tree that doesn't bear fruit, you can cut keneged hamashkolas. Or is he going on the seifa where we say kalilan keneged hamashkolas by a beis hashlachin? And Abishal says, no, not every tree. Only those trees that don't bear fruit, and therefore he's coming to be more machmir on you. So Tashma, the Tanya, beis hashlachin, Abishal lomar kol ilan keneged hamashkolas, meishat sel ra lebeis hashlachin, shmamina reisha kai shmamina. So you see that that Abishal agrees that by beis hashlachin you can cut any tree. So it must be that when he argues, he's only arguing on the reisha. Amravashi masnisanami deka, and it's meduik in the Mishnah. Diktani kol ilan srak. He says kol ilan srak. So yam bishlama reisha kai haynu diktani kol ilan. If he was going on the Seifa and he was coming to limit the amount of trees that you're allowed to cut, he should have just said, no, it's only Ilan Strak. Kul implies that he's trying to be more inclusive, that he's allowing you to cut more trees. So he's going on the Resha. El Lav Shramina, Resha Kai Shramina. Ilan Shu Notel Shusram Kotis Kadeshe Gamalova Verochlo. An Ilan that is branching out into Rosh Hashanah, you can cut enough space so that a camel with its rider should be able to pass under the tree. Rabbi Yudah or Gamal Tal and Pishtan Achavilas Moros. Rabbi Yudah says a camel that's carrying bundles should be able to pass under the tree, not a rider. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to worry about Tumah when the Ilan is branching over into the Rosh Hashanah, because then if there's Tumah anywhere under that tree, someone who passes by can become Tameh because it forms an Ohel. So you can cut the whole tree, anything that's coming out into the Rosh Hashanah, just cut right off. So man tana de binizakin basar umdina da hashazlinan. Who's the one that assumes when it comes to nezek, you only cut from the branches that are going to block the gamel, which implies that even though those branches are going to grow right back. And so we only care about what there is right now. You're not allowed to cut any further. We only care about what's there right now. It's actually machlokas, and this assumes like Reb Lazar. You're not allowed to dig under Rosh Hashanah, caves underneath Rosh Hashanah. Reb Lazar says mutter as long as it's sturdy enough that on top of it agalos can pass by. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan says no, we could even be assuming like the Rabbanan. Over there, sometimes it could start getting weak, and you're not going to realize, and then ultimately something's going to fall in. But over here, as the branches grow, you'll notice it. So you could just keep on cutting them as they grow. So it could even be going, our Mishnah could be going like everybody over there. Rabbi Yehuda says that the amount that you cut, the height that you cut, is enough for a camel to walk by with its bundle. Which is higher? A camel with the bundle or a camel with a person? So pshita d'shir d'rabban nafish. It's clear that a camel with a person is higher. D'sap d'ak shir d'Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Because if you hold that the shir of Rabbi Yehuda is higher, rabban b'shir d'Rabbi Yehuda hechiavdi. What would the rabban do if taka a camel needed to walk by with bundles? It wouldn't be able to get by if you only cut a lower amount. around. So says Gemara, yeah, but flip that around. Shir Rabbanan Nafsh Rabbi to be Shir Rabbanan Mayavid. And if you say it's the other way around, then what would the Rabbanan do? What would the Rabbi Yehuda do if a person needed to get by? He wouldn't be able to fit. So Efshad Degachim the Chalav to say, no, a person could always duck. A bundle on the back of a camel can't duck. Rabbi Shimon says, any tree that branches that go over into your field, you can cut out entirely because of that go out into Rosh Hashanah, you cut entirely because of tuma. Tanam epnei ohel atuma. It's because of a sense of ohel that it's going to create an ohel. Pshita epnei atuma tanan. Of course, it's ohel atuma. That's what it says. Now, if it just said mipnei atuma, I would have thought it's because a bird is going to come and take a basar min ha-meis or something and leave it in the branches of the tree, and we're afraid you're going to pass under that tuma itself, that the tuma is going to be left in the tree, and therefore all you really need to do is thin out the branches so that no tuma could be left there. Kamash Malan, therefore, comes and tells me that no, that it's Ohel HaTumah, that we're afraid the tree is going to be Mahil over Tumah and you, and therefore you have to cut every single branch.